The time gets away so quickly on these programs. Last week, I intended to bring a complete message on Matthew chapter 7, verses 24 through verse 27. That's the parable of the two builders, or the parable of the two foundations. And it seems that my time just got away before I really knew what was going on the program. There were several things that we did try to point out that I believe are most important in the study of this scripture. There were two main thoughts that I wanted to bring out, and I hope that with the program last week and the program today, we can get these two major thoughts across. The first one is the fact that the builders here in this parable had a choice of foundations. Now, I think it would be good to read these verses again. Therefore, whosoever heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them, I will liken him unto a wise man who built his house upon a rock. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat upon that house, and it fell not, for it was founded upon a rock. And every one that heareth these sayings of mine, and doeth them not, shall be likened unto a foolish man, who built his house upon the sand. And the rains descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew, and beat upon that house, and it fell, and great was the fall of it. So here we have the two structures, and when the test came, one of them fell, and the other remained intact. Now, the reason for that was not the structure itself. This is what we tried to point out. It was not the structure that determined whether or not these houses fell. And if you'll notice here, very plainly, he says in the latter part of verse 25 that this house, this first house that was built upon the rock, which as you know is Christ, remained, it stood, for it was founded upon a rock. The reason it stood is because it was founded upon a rock. It did not stand because it was a good house. It did not stand because it was well built. It did not stand because it was made out of a certain kind of material. It stood because it was founded upon a rock. And a house that was founded upon the sand, the verse 27 says, and the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat upon that house, and it fell, and great was the fall of it. Now, if the other one stood because it was founded upon a rock, then it stands to reason that the second one fell because it was founded upon the sand. So the superstructure then had nothing to do whatsoever with the falling or the standing of the house. That was purely the foundation. The reason it fell was because of its foundation. Then we tried to tell you that there is a choice of foundations as far as salvation is concerned for you today. There is a choice of foundations. You can build upon your superstructure, that's your life, day by day, the things that you do, the things that you say, the places that you go, the service that you give or refuse to give, that is the house that you are building. And I stated that every one of us are building a house, day by day, hour by hour, we're building a house, and eventually we're going to stand before God. If you're a sinner, you're going to stand before God, and you'll certainly give an account for the deeds done in the body. If you're a Christian, you're going to stand before God, and you'll give an account for the deeds done in the body. We're going to get to that today before the program is over. But I wanted to reemphasize today that the reason these houses one stood and the other fell, was the foundation. It was not the kind of house that they had built. Now, that certainly teaches me, and I did not have to get it just in this passage. I get it from one end of the Bible to the other, that our salvation is not determined by the things that we do day by day. Our salvation is not determined by how many times we go to church. Our salvation is not determined by how good we are. Our salvation is purely by God's grace. By grace, through faith, in the finished work of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, I suppose I get more criticism from preaching salvation by grace through faith in the finished work of Christ than any other message that I bring. occasionally someone will write me just recently. And frankly, it was the kind of letter that I would have been happy to answer if the person had given me their name. They did not give me an address, did not give me a name. A dear lady from down in Florida wrote an extremely long letter. I read it word for word, and she even enclosed a gift. Even though I was criticized in the letter for asking for gifts on the program to sustain the ministry, yet she enclosed a gift, and I couldn't acknowledge the gift, and I couldn't answer the letter because I was not given an address nor a name. But it's on this matter of salvation, on this matter of salvation by grace through faith, you see. And I was accused, as others of us are, of saying that it's simply faith. Well, salvation does come, as far as our part is concerned, by faith in the finished work of the Lord Jesus Christ. But you see, it is by God's grace. And this is the point that's being missed today, that we do not deserve salvation. And there's no way we can deserve salvation. You can't have it both ways, my friend. You just can't have it both ways. You cannot have it by grace and have it by works at the same time. They just do not mix. Now, it's got to be one way or the other. Your salvation has got to be either by grace, because the very nature of the word grace, the very nature of the doctrine of grace in the Bible excludes work altogether. So if it is by works, then it is not by grace. The Apostle Paul tells us that. Sure, faith without works is dead. But that's talking about a different thing than grace. Faith without works is dead. If you claim to have faith in Christ and you claim that you have by faith received the finished work of the Lord Jesus Christ and that by faith you are a born-again child of God and there is not a difference in your life and there is no works that follow the experience of salvation in your life, then it's dead. And what you're doing is dead works, even as the person here in this parable, the building of the house, turned out to be dead works because the foundation was not right. Now, if you're going to get on the right foundation, you're going to have to get on Christ. And if you're on Christ, it's going to have to be that He gets all of the glory. He gets all of the glory. The foundation is supplied for you. The foundation here is a rock. It's already there. It's already supplied for you. You do not build it. You do not form it. You do not make it yourself. It is the Lord Jesus Christ. And that is salvation by grace. By grace. God's unmerited favor. So in order to have salvation by grace, I cannot add any of man's works to it, including baptism, including church membership. I acknowledge baptism. I preach baptism. I preach that born-again children of God should be baptized. Just recently, we had one of the most beautiful baptismal services that I think I've ever been in. I don't know of a baptismal service outside of my own when I was baptized at the age of 12 years old. I don't know of a baptismal service that has touched me any more than one we recently had in the mountains of West Virginia, up the highway from Marlinton in one of the creeks there. What a beautiful sight it was after the service on Sunday morning when 9 precious folks walked out into the creek and the missionary there baptized them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. I tell you, my heart just thrilled because I'd seen some of them trust Christ as their Savior in the 2 weeks before. My heart just thrilled at a baptismal service. I preach baptism. I preach it. I preach baptism as an act of obedience after a person has been saved. But if I preach baptism as part of salvation, then I would be adding something to this rock here that he's talking about, that Jesus is talking about in Matthew chapter 7. I would have to say that Jesus left off something here whenever he said, "Build upon the rock and the house will stand." You see, it is not the superstructure, it is not what is done afterward that brings about redemption. It is the building of the house, the selecting of the right foundation, selecting the Lord Jesus Christ and Him alone. So as I said, love and works and hope and religion and baptisms and church membership and all of these other things are of no avail whenever it comes to salvation. It is purely by trusting Jesus Christ, by grace, through faith are ye saved, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God. One of those dear folks that were baptized the other Sunday morning was a dear lady who was a very timid lady, bless her heart. She very fine, precious lady, and a fine family, one of the finest families I've seen in a long time. Yet she was very timid, will hardly talk to you. You have to ask questions to get her to talk with you when you're speaking with her after the service and or before the service. And yet whenever we bowed in the prayer room in the tent, and she saw what the scripture had to say, and I explained to her what it would take to be saved, and he immediately trusted the Lord as his Savior, and she did too. She immediately prayed at least and asked the Lord to come into her heart, and then she looked up at me and she said, "But preacher, how can I be sure that I am not taking a false religion? How can I be sure that I am not being deceived by the devil?" I think I had preached that night on the devil's deception in lives to try to stop people from being saved. Or I had been preaching about this matter of people thinking they were saved and yet they're not saved. And right here in the book of Matthew, we've got that in Matthew 7:21 is the verse. 7:22, "Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name, and in thy name cast out demons, and in thy name done many wonderful works? And then will I profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity." And I had been preaching from that scripture. She said, "How can I be sure, preacher?" She said, "I want to be saved." I said, "The only way you can be sure, and the only way you can be saved, is to rely completely on Jesus Christ." And she said, "Well, I don't know about that." And I said, "Dear lady, you are waiting upon a feeling. That's the only thing that could possibly stop you from trusting Christ right now." I said, "You're waiting to feel it. And if you felt it, then you would have the proof without believing it." And she was able to understand that. She was able to see it. And she said, "Yes, I see that." I said, "Now, the thing to do is you trust Jesus by faith. You actually just trust what he said do. And he said here, if you will call upon him, he will save you. He says here," and I showed her the verses, "Him that cometh to me, I will in no wise cast out." And whenever she saw that, and she believed that without a feeling, then a smile broke across her face and a great joy came into her heart. Not the fact that she had the joy come into her heart and the smile across her face and then because of that she was saved. No, she had the smile on her face and she had the joy in her heart because she had trusted Jesus and Jesus alone. And she was not trusting in the feeling. She was not trusting in the smile on her face or in the feeling in her heart. She was trusting in the Lord Jesus Christ, building upon the proper foundation, which is Christ. Christ and Christ alone. Anything else is like the sand and will surely fail. So if I'm trusting in my baptisms, if I'm trusting in my church membership, if I'm trusting in the fact that I'm doing good or want to do good, or if I'm trusting in the fact that I've joined some kind of a religion, or in the fact that I love people, even if I was able to do so, love everybody, which I'm supposed to do, if I were able to do this, these things could not save me. That would be building the superstructure and not building on the proper foundation. So now these men, then, in Matthew chapter 7, had a choice of foundation. We spent a great deal of time with that. I want us to look now at 1 Corinthians chapter 3, and I want you to notice how that we have not only a choice of foundation, but after we have been saved, after we have chosen the Lord Jesus Christ, then we have a choice of material with which to build. Now, the material that we build with does not determine whether the house stands or not. It does not. Now, it certainly might in everyday life. Certainly, a wood house, they tell me, stands better in a tornado than a stone or a brick house stands. And because of the expanding and the extraction of the wood. On the other hand, in a hurricane where the winds are direct and there is not the pressure that's built up by the circular motion of the wind, in a hurricane that a brick or a stone or a steel house would stand better perhaps than a wood house. Now, in reality, in this life, there might be a difference in the superstructure as to whether or not the house stands. But in the parable that Jesus gave in Matthew 7, it is very clear that the foundation determined whether or not the house stood. It was not the superstructure, it was the foundation. There's nothing said there about the superstructure. Nothing at all. Just simply said he built a house, one built on the rock, one built on the sand. The rock is Christ, the sand is all of the other things that people are building upon today to try to get to heaven without simply trusting Jesus as their Lord and as their Savior. But now, after the foundation has been secured, after we have built upon Jesus Christ, we have determined that he is the rock of our salvation, then we are given a choice of materials. Now, if any man, verse 12 of 1 Corinthians 3, if any man build upon this foundation, see the foundation is already secured here. If any man build upon this foundation, and that's Christ, well, let's be sure it is in verse 11. For other foundations can no man lay than that which is laid, which is Jesus Christ. So the foundation is laid, the foundation is Christ. It's already there for you. You can build on it if you wish to. Now, not only do you have a choice of foundations, but you have a choice of building materials. Now, if any man build upon this foundation, gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, and stubble. Now, that's two distinct kinds of material, and each of these kinds of material is divided into three qualities of material. The gold, silver, and precious stones, that makes up one kind of material. That's hard, good, solid material. The last three, wood, hay, and stubble, are three kinds of material that are not good, that will not stand the test of fire. I think it's interesting here that the Lord divided these things into three kinds of material in each category. He didn't say just, now if any man build upon this foundation gold or wood. Or he didn't say if any man build silver or hay. Or if any man build with precious stones or stubble. But you can notice here that there is a deterioration. Gold, silver, and precious stones. Now the three there and the deterioration, the difference in the quality between the three, lets it be known that there are various degrees of material that a Christian can build with and it still be recognized by God as good material. You'll find that in the 15th chapter of the book of John, where we have much fruit and we have fruit, more fruit, and then we have just fruit. Fruit, more fruit, and much fruit. Now, you can build by dedicating everything that you have and everything that you are to Christ, and you can build a house of gold, or you can build in a varying degree with silver or precious stones, and these will stand. But if you build with wood, hay, and stubble, and the fire comes, these are going to be burned up. It says, because it shall be revealed by fire, and the fire shall try every man's work of what sort it is. The fire we believe here to be the Word of God. We believe every man's works is going to be tried by fire. So the house that you build then will one day be brought before the judgment seat of Christ. And you will have to give an account for the kind of material that you have used in this life.